from the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, with two-man coverage of the red and gold, this is the Locked On Chiefs Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
And we're back. It's a Friday edition. It is championship weekend. The conference championships are going off. We have some stuff to talk about. We're going to talk about those games and how they relate to the Kansas City Chiefs, as well as some things related to them that the Chiefs had some influence over. A great discussion for this weekend. We hope you guys are enjoying it. I'm Ryan Tracy, your host, an analyst at Chiefs Digest, as well as the founder of Rogue Analytics. And Rogue Analytics, if you don't know, we go through all the athleticism profiles of the draft eligible players. Heavily on the combine, give you a look at who are the elite specimens in this draft that Kansas City can try to find, whether early or as they're going to be this season here, late to mid rounds, that they can try to take advantage of. So keep an eye out for that. We're going to have some great stuff coming. And what we're going to do right off the bat is just a couple of notes. Tom Brady didn't practice Thursday for the New England Patriots. So for the conference title that the Chiefs would have been pursuing, they might have even been in a position had they won and been able to beat the Steelers, you would have liked to have seen happen. Or they would have faced these Patriots, possibly without Tom Brady after he got himself dinged up in practice, but facing a team that they have already beaten, as well as a quarterback with maybe something going on with his hand, it's a nice scenario. It just goes to show again that the Chiefs were on the edge. Had they been able to keep themselves together and beat the teams they should have beaten, they would have been in a position to give a good run to these teams that maybe people think are out of reach. But as well as there's a piece out there that NFL Films put out on their contest last week for the Patriots, and the Chiefs were brought up by offense coordinator Josh McDaniels, the fact that they needed, in his opinion, that the Patriots needed to keep their foot on the gas and keep the pedal down, and that he alluded to the fact and said to his players, Kansas City was in this exact position last week and didn't get it done. It's an important distinction to do that, and just goes to show you that the league pays attention to when these things happen, and they have to get back on the right track next season. This is imperative for this point of the year. But we're going to talk about those matchups, and I think we'll get started right now. So when we start talking about the playoffs in general, and the AFC in particular, these Chiefs really seem to have blown their opportunity, and it's a bit frustrating. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk about these two matchups because the Chiefs have beaten this season two of the four remaining teams, and that's problematic in terms of taking advantage of this position that you're in when you're in it. And that's probably my biggest harp on Andy Reid.
And that's fine. I don't mind talking about this, and we can. I just have to ask you, have you ever seen a play like the end of the New Orleans and Vikings game?
No, I mean,
I just have to ask the question.
Have a glass slipper on. He's so Cinderella. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But hey, credit to Stephon Diggs. And I like the kid from New Orleans, the safety that blew that play. I think he stood up and he took it like a man. I am impressed.
He also made the PFWA all-rookie team.
Right. He has played. He's been a good player at safety, even beyond what I think the expectations were. So, credit to him. I feel for him. He made a bad play and unfortunately cost his team the season. And I'm impressed with the way that he stood up and took account for that and didn't hide in his locker, didn't shy away from the media. I think people are giving him a hard time, and maybe he deserves it. But I think also on the flip side, you got to look at him as a kid that's got some moral fiber to him, and I think that's good to see.
And real quick, how do you play that? How do you play that play better? And obviously you hit the guy, I get that. But if you hit him low too soon, you're going to get called for hitting a defenseless receiver, and it's going to be on top of anything else. So, and I'm not trying to defend the kid. I'm just saying there is a question of, how do you actually play that play? And the only thing I can come up with is you actually stop and you tackle him as soon as he catches the ball.
Well, there's two aspects to it first, and one is on the play caller. The alignment so shallow for those safeties, as they were all game, I think is problematic. Like we talked about the other day, the theory that the safety, the name comes from being the last line of defense, that if you get past everybody else, we have the safety guy back there that can track you down and get you. And cheating everyone up because they're scared of the short passing game or they're trying to support the run plays into that. And you got duped as a coordinator. In terms of the player, I agree with you. I wouldn't say stop, but pull up, slow your roll, let him get his hands on the ball. And then it's basic fundamental football.
Yep.
Hit him in the back, wrap him up, take him to the ground. End of story.
Yep. Absolutely. But
that didn't happen. Nope. And what they have to do next week is probably try to recreate that, because they're playing an Eagles team that the defensive front, I think they still look pretty solid. The secondary may have been slowing down a little bit as the season wore on. The big thing for the Philadelphia Eagles in this Vikings contest is, strangely enough, you have to go into that game thinking that Case Keenum isn't the worst quarterback in that game, right?
Yep. Absolutely. And that's really the – I mean, we watched Nick Foles play against Jacksonville last year, and Jacksonville's defense was a shell of what they are this year. He was not good. So that's a really hard position for Philly to be in, because I think that they should be, you know, Super Bowl favorites if Carson Wentz was still there. Because I think that they would give the Patriots a run for their money if Carson Wentz didn't tear his ACL.
I have to agree. And in no way can I say this loudly or slowly enough. Doug Peterson has surpassed Andy Reid in my eyes in the last 2 years. To do what he's done in Philadelphia, to take a team that had mediocre talent at best and put them together on the shoulders of that rookie and get to an NFC championship, which Andy Reid only did once in his career as well, and had Hall of Famers like T.O. on that roster. I find that convincing that the student is at least on par with the master, and I am not sure that he has not surpassed him.
Well, I think you're giving him a little too much credit. I think what you're seeing there, at least in my opinion, is you're finally seeing a coach that has a legitimate elite QB. Andy Reid has never had one.
And that may be true, but he is a second-year QB.
Second year or not, he's still elite. I would say he's easily in the top 10, and you could argue he's in the top 5.
Yeah, and that's fair.
With the way he played this year. Andy Reid has never had that guy. Alex Smith is still not that guy, even with the season he had.
And that may be very well true. And what does that tell you about the difference between what Doug Peterson recognizes and what Andy Reid recognizes?
Well, you can take it that direction. I'm going to take it the direction of this is where Kansas City is headed. You're finally going to see Andy Reid with an elite QB, in my opinion, because I think Pat Mahomes will be that guy.
And I hope you're right. I have a feeling he's going to be
or
very
can
good.
Be.
Exactly. I think he's going to be very good. Elite, I'm not so sure of. I hope that that's the way it happens, because then there's no more excuses. Because I still feel like Andy Reid places the emphasis on his system, on his play call, rather than the players. And I just can't help but feel like seeing Doug Peterson come out of his shadow, go to Philadelphia, and do what he's done, I think illustrates the fact that the system has to be more than the focus of a team.
And I guess I disagree with you on that regard, although I guess you could make the argument that Nagy was the one calling the plays in Denver, because I saw a different offense for Kansas City when they played Denver in the second game that was a little bit less complex for Mahomes at times and a lot more spread fundamentals. But you know, you can make the argument that that was on Nagy, that wasn't on Reid, but you know, we'll never know where that really came from.
No, and I'll never trust an answer that comes out either.
Imagine that.
Right now, this game, I think at the end of the day comes down to moxie, and without Wentz, I think that these Vikings are on a roll. I think they have enough in both sides of the ball. I think they come out with a win.
I would agree with that. I don't think that the Vikings are going to have trouble stopping Nick Foles. I don't care how good Nick Foles looks in practice. I just don't think he's going to be able to get the job done. I'm still shocked that he got the job done against the Falcons. But
well,
I just don't trust him.
Yeah, and I don't blame you. He's a quality backup. you don't want your backup playing in the postseason. It's just the way that.
But how funny is it that we have basically a Jeff Fisher NFC Championship game?
It's interesting, right? Yeah. And that's also a guy that could be out there who could be up for a head coaching job, could be up for a DC job that we're not hearing any news about. That may be telling too. And maybe these postseason games are what's going to set that off.
I'd have a hard time believing that Jeff Fisher is going to get another head coaching job this year. Maybe they'll forget about him by next year and maybe he can get another job. But if you look at the job that the coach that took over the Rams did with the team that with basically a lot of the same team that Fisher had, I'd say that speaks volumes about the type of coach that Fisher is, at least as a head coach.
I agree with you there. I like to see him as DC. Let's not get down that rabbit hole or we'll have to talk forever. But there is another game and one that I am very keen to watch. I know it's easy to tune out this time of year with the Chiefs out of it, especially after you watch the Patriots destroy the team that knocked the Chiefs out, which is always difficult. But the Jaguars are built like the Chiefs. They play better defense. I'll give them that. But the Chiefs want to play good defense. And the Jaguars run the ball. Despite Kareem Hunt being the league's leading rusher, the Jaguars run the ball better, in my opinion. And Jeff Schwartz and I got into an argument on Twitter, and he may be right that the Chiefs are better in short yard situations than I generally perceive. But I know that when it comes down to coming up big, when you need a yard, the Chiefs' offensive line didn't do it. I think that's a big part of this game. And I want to see what this smash-mouth – run first offense, because quite honestly, Blake Bortles is Blake Bortles, and he may be another trade partner or trade target for this team trying to unload Alex Smith. But when you look at that formula going against the Patriots, if you can beat the Patriots up in the first quarter, I think that gives you a chance to win that game.
Okay. And we'll get down to this game in just a second, but I have to ask a question. You put Alex Smith on that team instead of Blake Bortles, you think they win that game?
I think it's close. I don't know that I like the outside pass catchers for Jacksonville. I don't know. They don't give you the Tyreek Hill edge. Have a guy that matches up like Travis Kelce, who is a matchup nightmare for teams. So I'm not certain of that, but I think he gives you more solid quarterback play. I think you have way less turnovers. I think you're in it till the very end.
Yep. Agree with all those. It's really hard to I can envision being in Jacksonville, but at the same time, you look at who they have now, and you have to ask the question, is Alex Smith really going to be better than what you have now? And I don't know. I mean, it's easy to think that he would be better than Blake Bortles, but you're right. You take away the weapons that he had, and this is another conversation I had on the podcast I recorded earlier this week for The Wolf of Wall Street or something like that. Sorry, I'm forgetting the name. No, not The Wolf of Wall Street. The Wolf of Fantasy Football. I can't remember the podcast name, and I feel really bad about that. But the point was that, you know, he asked me questions. They were talking about Nagy. What is Nagy going to bring to Chicago? Nagy's going to bring a lot of Reed's type of style of offense. The difference is that Chicago doesn't have the pieces that Kansas City had to attack. You know, Tyreek Hill is not somebody you're going to go find somewhere else. Travis Kelce, it doesn't matter if you have the athletic tight end or not. Nobody's Travis Kelce.
Yeah,
he's top two in his position, and you can make an argument he's probably the best tight end in the NFL. So,
Well, and here's the interesting thing. They have Allen Hurts, who's been solid over the years, although under 500 yards this season. Keelan Cole, step out for them this season. Maybe he's somebody that can go forward. But the guy who led them in receptions, Marquise Lee, is a free agent. Don't know that you're going to retain him. He may be on board. I don't know. They have an exciting kid in Dede Westbrook that's coming along. They have our old guy, Shags, still catching passes for them. I'm happy for him that he's going deeper in the postseason than he would have if he were here still.
Yeah, they have pieces. I just don't know. I don't think it's enough to beat New England, and I don't think New England's going to be fooled by Blake Bortles running the ball.
I have to disagree. I'm taking Jacksonville in this game. I think they pound it early, and it's not for big chunks. Leonard Fournette is not Kareem Hunt. He's not busting off 20 pluses, but man, is if his ankle's able to go and that offensive line can do what they've done the last 3 weeks and he gets four and a half, five yards a carry, I think they beat up New England, because New England at the end of the day is still a finesse team. And I think you punch them in the face long enough, they'll go down.
Well, that's you and your smash mouth football. I think Belichick is going to have something in store for them, and they will get it figured out. But, you know, we talk about this every year. If you're able to run the ball and run the ball consistently, you have a great chance in any game. So if they're able to do that, you know, maybe they have an opportunity to go out and do something like that. It's just going to depend on whether or not they're able to run the ball like you're talking about.
So I have them winning. You have New England, I take it?
I do.
Well, we will find out, folks. I hope you guys enjoy your weekend. Enjoy these games. Hit us up with your thoughts on this Jacksonville-New England thing in particular. We appreciate you listening. We have tons of stuff coming up for you. Big interview next week with Matt Miller from Bleacher Report, draft guru. If you're not reading him already for his early takes on what this draft season might bring, make sure you're out there checking that out, because we're going to talk to him about that and a lot of other things. Be prepared for that one. Thank you for listening to us today. Enjoy your weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Chiefs podcast. While you're out there, give us a rating or review and reach out to us on Twitter @RyanTreseyNFL and @ChrisClarkNFL. We'll talk to you next time.